Fancy a game?
Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane.
You know, I could probably shoot him from here. I'd be doing us both a favor.
Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff.
Hello, hockey. The Golden Knights are back. We're live from Toshiba Plaza outside of T-Mobile Arena. Only 9 hours before puck drops on the Golden Knights' second season. Thanks to Steven and Mateo down here getting us set up. We just had to tear down and move 10 feet in 15 minutes, and we got it up and rolling just in time for the show. Game tonight, it is not on AT&T Sports. That is it on NBC Sports Network. You can also listen to it, Fox 1340, 98.9 FM, or our favorite with Jesus Lopez, ESPN Deportes, and 1460. The VGK Insider Show over on Fox 1340 is a special two-hour show today, 2 to 4 p.m., with Frank Harnish and Ryan Wallace. They're going to be live from Hyde here at T-Mobile Arena, so you can catch that. A lot of VGK on the networks today. We're going to start, though, with the big devastating news, and that's Gritty, the Flyers mascot, did not make the trip to Vegas. Shang Peng from Hockey Buzz with the exclusive reporting. Apparently the Flyers hate fun, because what would be better than your mascot coming to Las Vegas to open the season? Like, it would just be terrific. Oh my God. So Jared's back at the studio. Jared, do you know what we need with Gritty?
More?
Well, obviously. But we need to have Jesus back in studio and just have Jesus do Spanish play-by-play of the video of Gritty falling or Gritty doing anything, honestly.
Yes, please, I'll get on it.
Like, that's all we need in life, is Jesus trying to describe what Gritty is. If you missed it, we had Jesus Lopez, the Spanish voice of the Golden Knights, on the show earlier this week. You can listen to the podcast, lvsportsnetwork.com or iTunes. But Jesus, he told us one of the things he does when the puck's in the corner is he describes it as though they're chopping onions down there. He's like the first Spanish play-by-play guy, so he is making it up as he goes. So we need him describing Gritty. That's on. Like, would anything be better than Jesus describing Gritty falling on the ice or shooting his coworker with a t-shirt gun? Like, that'd be as good as it gets. Do you think there's a word in Spanish for t-shirt cannon?
No, but I mean, Jesus is dope. Like, he's awesome. So he'll come up with something that you would go, oh, that makes perfect sense.
What about squeaky belly? Is there Spanish terms for squeaky belly?
I'm sure there is. I took 5 years of Spanish, and I don't remember a single word, so...
I don't think you got squeaky belly. I don't think that was in the high school curriculum for Jared's Spanish classes. The somber news, or likely somber news, is that Jake Bischoff is not going to be playing. He's probably going to be a healthy scratch. Their practice hasn't started yet, so we don't have an idea of what the lines and defensive pairings will be, but it looks like Jake Bischoff is going to be a healthy scratch. They're just trying to keep him down, that's all. That's all. They know. They know if they let him play.
You can't unleash the dragon this early in the season.
Sure you can. They know if they let him play, he'll score a ton of goals, and then he'll demand $10 million at the end of the year. And they don't want that. They got to slow play him so that they can keep him on the cheap. That's my theory anyways.
See, I'm going the opposite. I think they know what they have, and it's a $10 million guy. And so what they're doing is they want teams to not, like, have any tape on him or any, like, scouting reports, and then they pull him out.
He's so good, it doesn't matter if you've got scouting reports on him. None of that's important. All right, this is sad news to start the show. I'm going to cheer it up. I'm going to make Jared talk about hockey, because he knows nothing about hockey.
I mean, I know rudimentary things about hockey, like, soccer on ice, right?
Wait, how intently are you going to watch the Golden Knights this year?
I believe for this show I'm required to, aren't I not?
Well, how can we do like a Jared learn something or a Jared notice something about hockey like after every game?
Just have me watch it and I'll take notes?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I want it to be like Jared learned what icing was today.
Well, I mean, okay, that's fine.
Oh, you know what you can do? You can watch the Golden Knights and listen to Jesus, and you can learn hockey and Spanish all at the same time.
Yeah, I think if college didn't teach me Spanish, I don't think I'm learning Spanish.
What do you mean? Jesus will be your teacher.
I don't think he's that patient.
You can learn like he did from Goofy playing hockey in the 1950s or whatever that was.
I still need to get that sound.
All right, let's do Facebook comments. Yesterday, Jesse Granger was on the show, and The Athletic, who is his new employer, put out their staff predictions for the season. Jesse wasn't a part of it. And they voted William Karlsson to be the most disappointing player in the NHL this year. They voted the Golden Knights to be the second most disappointing team in the NHL this year. We'll actually talk to Dom Lecision a little bit later from The Athletic. I think it's Lecision, by the way. I don't really know how to pronounce his last name. It's very long, lots of consonants back to back. We'll ask him how to pronounce his last name. But he voted in that. So talked to Jesse yesterday, posted that to Facebook, and we got some fun comments. So what's the first one you got for me, Jared?
All right, this comes from John Sigmund. 100 emoji, ellipses, season one was a fluke. Cup series exposed them.
That's right. So, all right, I love doing these Facebook comments so much because, one, I think Jared hates them, and, two, Facebook comments are way better than Twitter comments. Like, these are tremendous. But John is on our Facebook page basically trolling Golden Knights fans by calling them a fluke last year and dismissing any claims they have to say, no, the Golden Knights are good, and it's terrific. It's great work by John. He's doing a great job for us on our ESPN Las Vegas page, despite not working for us.
Can I ask you a completely unrelated to the Facebook comments question?
Absolutely.
Are you near a cement mixer?
Oh, what do you hear in the background?
Just like the sound of a cement mixer.
No, I don't know what that is. There's an airplane above us. Or maybe
that,
it's a helicopter.
Okay, that might be it then.
Maybe it'll go away.
This is going well.
We need more cement mixers down here at Toshiba Plaza.
Lorianne Fico said, who the bleep? I assume she didn't actually say bleep.
No, not at all. I censored it for you because I was afraid you'd read it word for word.
Yeah, at Ron Bergen. Yeah, that's probably a good thing. Who the bleep came up with this bleep? Lol.
That's right. That's as passionate as it gets. So lots of bleeps in there. LOL.
Wait, is that a house rule? We want it pronounced LOL instead of lol?
You can pronounce it however you want. I say LOL because lol sounds stupid.
Well, I think it's supposed to be like the lol, but now I use it so often that I think people don't understand I'm trying to be mocking. But
let's keep explaining how we pronounce acronyms.
It's weird that you're... Yeah, okay. Brett Wilbrew. And last year, VGK wasn't slated to win more than 20 games. Las Vegans would never support a hockey team. And the franchise will be moved to Quebec in 2 years' time, ellipses. That guy didn't use an Oxford comma.
There's some good sarcasm there.
Is there?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, because people commented to that one saying they're not moving to Quebec or something like that. But he was very sarcastically saying, yeah, this team's going to Quebec in 2 years.
I mean, if Quebec gets a team, then yeah, we might have to play them in the next couple years.
Bad joke.
Yep. Swing and a miss. Kenny North says, I guess it's fair to make predictions, but look what it did last year. The Knights were expected to do poorly, and they can say they not only went to the Stanley Cup their first year, but won a game. So keep the hate coming. Knights seem to thrive on it. This dude needs an editor.
First off, I love making you read poorly constructed sentences. Second off, I love that he was trying to explain how successful the Golden Knights were and, like, making the Stanley Cup is good, but he threw in there, they won a game, as if getting beat in five games in the Stanley Cup final is a good thing. Like, there are so many other positive things he could have thrown out there, but he threw in, oh, no, they got the Stanley Cup, and, hey, they won a game in the Stanley Cup.
Didn't get swept! David Warren Sanford. Here we go again, ! Do you want me to yell that?
Sure.
Here we go again! Just keep underestimating us and adding fuel to the fire!
The Golden Knights are really good at this whole chip-on-the-shoulder thing. Golden Misfits. It's all going to be on fire because everybody's doubting them.
Sarah Weatherholt. We love doubters! ! Let's show them boys. Wait, does she mean let's show them boys? Or does she mean
boys.
Okay, because there's no comma, so it'd be let's show them boys.
Yeah. You think pronunciation, grammar's important, Jared? It's Facebook.
It helps me read.
No, don't. That's why we want less pronunciation. Make it harder on you.
Stephen Marsh. Doesn't bother me. This team loves to prove people and the doubters wrong. Bring on the critics.
Bring them on. Am I a critic of the Golden Knights?
No, I don't think so. I mean, unless it pertains to Jake Bischoff's playing time.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm a pretty heavy critic of that.
But this also wasn't criticism, was it? Wasn't it just a writer's poll?
Yeah, it was just a poll of writers, and a lot of them think the Golden Knights are going to disappoint. So it's kind of, I mean, it's critical.
I'm not sure if it's, I mean, all right.
We're talking about nuances on Facebook comments, Jared. You can't expect that.
Valid argument. Technically correct. Grady Costello. Ha, heard that before, and we broke records and made history.
Did they? Did they make history?
First expansion franchise, I mean, of all expansion franchises, and to win that many games and to go to, what, the conference championship their first year, except for, what was it, one other team in the 50s did it?
Hey, they are the first expansion team to ever win at one game in the Stanley Cup final.
There you go. And wasn't it the last time an expansion team went to the Stanley Cup final? All the good teams were on, like, one conference and all
one conference was an entire conference of expansion teams.
Yeah, so good luck with that. Amanda Castillo. Come on, ESPN! Why would you post this garbage? !
It's a good one. It's our fault. I shouldn't have. The reason I posted, though, is because she responded that way. And I figured they would respond that way.
You also, I mean, you don't in the audio, you don't go, I think The Athletic is completely correct. Let's have an agree party.
Oh, I'm assuming the overlap of people that commented on this that actually listened to the audio is very, very low.
It's a Venn diagram where neither side is touching.
Yes.
All right. Adam Stymus. Screenshot this one like last year and show how you bleeps are again! ! 6-1 preseason. Shout out LA. Killed San Jose.
I love this one. This is even better than bragging about winning one Stanley Cup game, because he's bragging that they went 6-1 in the preseason and two of their preseason wins looked good against the Kings and the Sharks. Like, that's a pretty low bar to clear. Like, UNLV could clear those bars if we're talking about low expectations.
I don't even know what to do with this, because you wrote it. You hand-wrote this one.
Yeah, well, see, I printed that off for you to read, and then I saw that last one and was like, this one's too good.
But let me,
I gotta write this one in for Jared.
Let me reread this. Screenshot this one like last year and show how you bleeps are again. What?
Yeah.
Was the curse word doing a lot of the heavy lifting there to make that sentence make sense?
I think it was just the F word.
Oh, so you F's are
again.
Show how you F's are again?
But
is that, like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, no, he's just mad at us for saying the Golden Knights are possibly going to disappoint because some other people thought they might disappoint. That's all.
Okay.
What I love the most about this is that Golden Knights fans have perfected the art of having a chip on their shoulder. Like, the Golden Knights are still predicted to get to the playoffs. The Golden Knights are still predicted to be a good hockey team. But just the fact that someone might say, yeah, they might be a little worse than last year. Yeah, they might disappoint a little bit. William Karlsson might not score 43 goals again. And they lose their minds with, oh my God, all these haters. They don't believe in the Golden Knights. That's fine. We'll prove them wrong again, boys. Like, it's just terrific. It's unbelievable how well the Golden Knights fan base has just bought into this Golden Misfits, nobody believes in us. It's incredible. Like, athletes and coaches do it all the time. It's amazing to me that the fan base has done it even more, and I love it, because I can hate on the Golden Knights, and you guys can all hate me too. It'll be great. It'll be a nice symbiotic relationship.
You have this weird fascination of carving yourself out as the bad guy of local media.
I'm not, though. I'm not, though. I just tell you when people suck, and sometimes people don't want to hear that. That's all. Like, the Golden Knights, they don't suck that much. Like, they do most things well on the ice. Off the ice, they do some things that are like, what are they doing there? But for the most part, on the ice, yeah, it's all good. It's UNLV that it's like, yeah, they haven't been good since I've lived here. Like, there's only so many good things you can
lie to yourself about with UNLV, because it's like, yeah, you haven't been to a bowl game. Like, you haven't won more than 8 Mountain West games in basketball. Like, let's go. Let's get it together. Technically correct. Brought to you by Boyd Gaming. Try out the Be Connected sports betting app. It is the easiest way to bet on sports in Vegas, and it is free to download.
There are so many ways to be satisfied at the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Enjoy cocktails and steaks the way nature intended at Alder and Birch. Visit the newly updated Prime Rib Loft. Experience the all-new Bailiwick Gastro Pub to share unique dining selections, try new craft draft beers, and enjoy great live music. Dine at Andori Asian Kitchen for authentic Chinese entrees, or choose from a large selection of sushi and Japanese cuisine. Check out the all-new Copper Whisk Cafe, open 24 hours with a menu that is sure to entice any palate. So savor the latest and greatest variety of flavors at the Orleans.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants.
No, I don't want to go to a party in your pants.
Bischoff's Briefs.
Underpants!
Bischoff's Briefs.
Very well.
The Raiders have placed Donald Penn on IR.
That was too easy of a sentence. I should have made that harder for you.
Not cool, dude.
Letting you get warmed up. Rookie Brandon Parker will start at right tackle now. Parker played basically the whole second half in overtime against Cleveland because Penn went out with a groin injury. And it means the Raiders are going to start two rookie offensive tackles. Colton Miller's been playing left tackle, and he's been better than expected. Not necessarily great, but better than expected, and now Parker is up on the right side. The Raiders could bring back Donald Penn off injured reserve before the season ends. His injury is supposedly not a season-ending type of injury, but NFL teams can only bring two guys back off of IR during the season, so conceivably somebody else could get hurt that they want more than Penn, but it looks like Penn potentially could come back before the year ends. The offensive line, though, for the Raiders, they're beat up because Colton Miller had a knee injury. He had to wear a brace to finish out that game against the Browns. Kelechi Osemele, the left guard, he had an injury and came out in the overtime drive, excuse me, the game-tying drive at the end of regulation against the Browns. He came back in. They're both going to be expected to play, but they've got a lot of injuries on that offensive line, which is supposedly supposed to be one of the Raiders' strengths this year. So we'll see how the Raiders handle all these offensive line injuries and how a rookie does at right tackle and left tackle.
The Review Journal reports that the Raiders will not play at Sam Boyd Stadium next season.
We got a newspaper fight on our hands. Yesterday, the San Francisco Chronicle reported that the Raiders could play in Sam Boyd Stadium next season, and now the RJ is saying, nope, that is definitely not happening. If you're unaware of the backstory, Oakland is thinking about suing the Raiders. $500 million, keep the name Raiders with the city of Oakland. And the Raiders' response to that is, well, we'll just leave early. The problem is they don't have anywhere to play if they leave early next year. Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas conceivably could be an option, but Mark Davis just said last week that he doesn't think it can be NFL ready. The RJ's reporting that. I think I tend to believe with the review, believe the Review Journal here. They're probably going to win this newspaper fight, but I like the newspaper fight. I wish it was two newspapers in the same city, though. Like, I wish we had the Sun and the RJ fighting with each other, because, like, yeah, the Chronicle and the RJ, we don't get as much from that fight, but I do like our newspaper fights.
Bruce Irvin on Arden Key's questionable roughing the passer penalty against the Browns. So what? You just want him to run up to him and titty bump him or chest bump him?
You were worried about saying that, weren't you?
No, not really. Once I got the all clear from management, hey man, I'm good.
That is a Q&A with Bruce Irvin in The Athletic, and that was his response to that roughing the passer call. And it's so good. Like, I love the idea of, like, during the game, players or coaches saying that to the referees after that call. Like, what's he supposed to do, titty bump him? Like, I just enjoy that so much, that that's the description that Bruce Irvin went with in saying what Arden Key needs to do when hitting the quarterback. But there is a lot of good stuff in there in that Q&A. Bruce Irvin talks about the Khalil Mack trade a little bit because he and Khalil Mack were really close and how it just blew up their defensive line. right before the season started, but he also sort of hedges himself by saying, yeah, John Gruden did a good job of managing the money, the salary cap, so he's not in a hole 2 or 3 years down the road. The best part about that was Bruce Irvin was asked about his sacks for this year. And his response was, man, you can't worry about the sack totals. Not that important. It's all about playing hard, blah, blah, blah. And then a couple questions later, he's asked about the Raiders' rookies on defense, and he immediately starts listing off their sack totals. So when you're talking about him, don't worry about the sacks. When you're talking about everybody else, oh, yeah, they're good if they got a bunch of sacks.
Five-star recruit Josh Green is committing today.
So he's got UNLV in his top six, final six. Villanova, North Carolina, Kansas, USC, and Arizona. UNLV doesn't exactly fit in that six. He's a top 10 player in the class of 2019. He said on Twitter yesterday at 11 a.m. that he'd be announcing his commitment in 24 hours. So if we believe that a senior in high school has his timing down correctly, he'll be announcing at 11 a.m. today. So just over 30 minutes from now. Nice of him to do that right after this show ends. It wouldn't be great for us to, you know, be able to talk about Josh Green possibly committing to UNLV on this show. No. We'll do it a whole 24 hours later on Friday if he does. The reason UNLV's in the running here is his brother Jay Green is on scholarship at UNLV. That's UNLV's in. It would be massive for UNLV. There are three high-level recruits in the class of 2019 that UNLV was after. They already missed on one. If they miss on Green, that leaves them really needing to get Christian Brown. Christian Brown is the kid from South Carolina that UNLV is like the only West Coast school on his list. It's like Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Georgia, UNLV. But Christian Brown is probably the one they have the best chance of getting. Not many people expect them to get Josh Green today, but if they do, it would be pretty massive. If they don't, they really need to get Christian Brown, because you start looking at the recruiting class, it's 2 3-star guards. If you don't really get anything better than that, it's not really a great recruiting class for UNLV. If you get Christian Brown, you get a top 50 player. All of a sudden, you probably have the best high school recruiting class in the Mountain West. You get Josh Green, you definitely do, because he's a top 10 player, and he'll be, you know, the highest-rated kid coming to the Mountain West next year, no doubt about it. So, could be a big day for UNLV, but more than likely, they're going to just have their focus turn to Christian Brown here pretty soon.
Alex Tuck and Cody Eakin are week-to-week, not day-to-day.
Don't believe anything the Golden Knights say about injuries. Although this was from George McPhee and not Gerard Gallant. But it probably means like one of two things. Either their season is over or they'll be back in like 2 days. One of those two things is going to happen. George McPhee did tell us that Alex Tuck has a lower body injury. So we do have some info. Gerard Gallant refused to tell if it was a lower or upper body injury. But lower body injury is what Alex Tuck has. The kind of strange part about the injuries is it leaves Vegas with 22 players. You're allowed to carry 23, and they haven't called someone up to replace Alex Tuck, meaning they only have 12 forwards, and that's the amount you need to actually dress and play a game. So they'll have no healthy scratches at forward, just 2 healthy scratches that are defensemen. So they could call somebody up and have another forward up here just in case for whatever reason, but they haven't. I mean, the worst case scenario is somebody gets hurt in morning skate today, and then what do they do with that last forward spot? Can they get someone here from Chicago before the game tonight? But they haven't done that, so they're probably going to stay healthy, but worst-case scenario could happen in the Golden Knights where Jake Bischoff becomes a fourth-line left winger.
The Philadelphia Flyers watched Golden Knights practice.
Espionage! They're worse than the Patriots! But this is what's great about the Golden Knights. Their practices are open. Other teams can watch, you can watch, it doesn't matter. It's funny to compare it to college sports, where it's not just UNLV, but UNLV is the one we cover here, where the coaches try to shut everything down. And like UNLV football practices, media can come to practices, they're open, but like you can't report on anything you see in practice. You can't like even just say like so-and-so looks good catching the ball or whatever. Like you're not even they've got a big sign when you walk in that says no cell phone use allowed. Like, it's very funny how secretive college coaches are, and then the Golden Knights are here like, yeah, the other team, yeah, they can come watch us practice, no big deal.
Nate Schmidt is practicing with a team in Vienna, Austria.
So he's suspended for 20 games, can't practice with the team here.
There goes our co-host.
So it is, I guess, a good option to go practice with a professional team in another country. He's kind of getting, I know he's not getting paid, but he kind of has like a six-week vacation in Europe here. Because I'm assuming all he has to do is show up to the practice, and they practice, whatever, 1 or 2 hours a day. So it's kind of like a vacation in Austria. I'm curious, do you think, Jared, do you think the Golden, who do you think paid for Nate Schmidt's flight and his, like, hotel or wherever he's staying over in Austria? Like, do you think the Golden Knights paid for it? Do you think the other team paid for it? Or are they making Nate Schmidt pay for this?
I assume it's like what Reno 1868 does with their players. Like, he gets a meal stipend.
If he does well in practice, he gets a bonus.
Yeah. He gets a second pork chop. Hopefully it won't be laced with anything.
Is that what... Do the next brief. That was a good way to end that one.
Oh, you do want the next brief?
Yeah.
All right, sorry. A former Adidas executive has admitted to paying high school players to attend certain colleges.
Yeah, I know. I just told you to skip this one.
Yeah, I know. So I was like...
Yeah, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Dom Lecision of The Athletic is coming up next.
You're listening to Technically Correct with Tyler Bischoff. Brought to you by Boyd Gaming.
Bischoff.
Señores, una vez más, el disparo. ¡Gol! ¡Gol! Jake Bishop. Jake Bishop, señores. Cae la anotación de Vegas, Golden Knights. 4-2, Helber Castro.
Buen gol, buen gol.
Technically correct with Tyler Bischoff.
That was the voice of Jesus Lopez. You can hear the game on Fox 1340 today, or if you want to hear it in Spanish, on our Deportes channel, 1460 AM. And with us now from The Athletic is Dom. And Dom, I know you love this question. How do you pronounce your last name?
I think we should give you a try first and see how
Lecision.
It goes.
Is it Lecision?
No.
Oh, all right. What
that's
is it?
That's the usual one. It's Lucision.
Lucision. Okay. How? Okay, so... What is the percentage of people that have accurately pronounced your last name on their first try?
Like 1%, probably.
Okay.
It's always a surprise.
It is good. It is a good last name. He's with The Athletic, does a lot of stuff there, a lot of analytics and predictions there. So, first off, I've got to we've got to call The Athletic out because the staff of writers over there put together a big predictions for the NHL season, and William Karlsson was voted the most likely player to disappoint, and the Golden Knights were the second most likely team to disappoint. So why does The Athletic hate the Golden Knights?
I want to go on the record saying I didn't vote for either, though I did vote for Marc-Andre Fleury. So
that might be worse. That might be worse for people here.
That might be worse, yeah. I actually thought William Karlsson was too obvious, wanted to go off the board a bit. It just, a lot of things went really right for the Golden Knights in their first year, and while everyone still thinks they're a good team, people are still skeptical they are a 105 or 110 point team, which is what they looked like last season and even throughout the playoffs.
Well, so what the word most disappointing is vague. I mean, so what would be your definition of disappointment for the Golden Knights this year?
Disappointment for the Golden Knights would be not making the playoffs to me. If they make the playoffs, I think that's fine considering where they are in their franchise history. This is their second year. Even though they went as far as they did last year, I think just making the playoffs this year would be a good thing because it means they're a consistent playoff team.
So, okay, I want to get into the Marc-Andre Fleury stuff since you voted him most disappointing. He is an older goalie in his early to mid-30s. He had a career year last year, and you sound like you don't expect that to happen again.
No, not really, especially since he didn't do it through 60 games. Like, he obviously did well in the playoffs as well, but he didn't have the large body of regular season work where he was consistently that high, and his previous numbers just are mostly above average and not league elite. So I would just be skeptical expecting something closer to 925, and I think something closer to his career average, which is still above average. He's an above average goalie, but I'm not sure he's an elite one, especially at his age where things tend to go down.
So if we take Fleury and sort of in the general, the broader team concept of sort of how good they'll be in the regular season, if Fleury, instead of being, you know, putting up some of the best numbers in the NHL, if instead he's more like an average goalie this year, how much does that, do you think that ends up impacting where they are in the standings?
It's definitely a big impact. The number one thing that causes teams to go up or down relative to expectations is how well the goalie did. So last year, not many people were expecting the Jets to make the playoffs, and they finally got goaltending, and there they were as a contender because they had such a strong group of skaters. The Anaheim Ducks last year weren't that great, especially with early injuries, but they had John Gibson put up an almost .930 save percentage. For the Oilers, everyone was expecting them to be a Stanley Cup contender because they had a number one starting goalie in Cam Talbot, and Cam Talbot was just not very good last year, even though many expected him to be. And then, of course, there's Carey Price in Montreal. A lot of people thought he was the best goalie in the league, and that's why Montreal should have made the playoffs, and instead they were somewhere near the bottom five, or maybe in the bottom five. I can't even remember how bad they were last year. But it's just, goalies are the most difficult thing to predict, and they are usually the biggest difference makers on any team. So if a goalie is good, a team is usually going to be good. If they're bad, then they need their skaters to really hold through for them.
Do you have any, like, historical data or knowledge of a goalie having his career best year when he's 32?
I'm sure it's happened before. I am just not, like, I don't remember off the top of my head, and I would imagine that that happening doesn't bode well for his next season. I can't imagine there's many times where a goalie had a career year at 32 and kept that pace up the following season.
So one thing I'm also curious about is Nate Schmidt, and he's out for 20 games, and he's clearly the Golden Knights' best defensive player. 20 games, it doesn't seem like a whole lot, but it's a fourth of the season. So, like, when you're putting together, you know, the Golden Knights' chances of making the playoffs and what their point total will be this year, how much does one guy missing 20 games matter to all that?
It really depends on who the guy is. So if it's Jonathan Marchessault or William Karlsson, who my model ranks as the highest and most important players on the team, it would be a little more significant. But at the same time, for just one quarter of the season, it's usually not a big deal. If you think about it as the best players in the league are worth four wins, and there's 82 games in the season, so a quarter of the season, a team might lose one win of value from the best players in the league. And as good as Nate Schmidt is, he is not worth four wins of value, unfortunately. So, like the rest of the defense might have to step up, and there's some sketchy things, especially having to play guys like John Merrill, maybe give more minutes to Derek Eglin. It's not ideal, but they should be able to survive.
You mentioned Derek Eglin because he's kind of like Fleury. One, he's older than Fleury, but two, he had somewhat of a career year last year with the Golden Knights as well. Is that even more of like an expected drop off with him this year?
Yeah, because for most of his career, he was a replacement level defenseman or worse, and it was obviously a nice story for him to be selected in the expansion draft, but not many people were expecting him to actually be a contributor, which he was last year, and I'd be hard pressed to see him being as good again next year. But I mean, stranger things have happened.
With the defensive core, and we saw the Stanley Cup final where it wasn't good enough, is that what sticks out to you as sort of like, this is why the Golden Knights, you know, might disappoint or might not be as good, is because that part of the team isn't good enough?
I feel like it's more a top-end, bottom-end issue. A lot of people throughout the playoffs, especially broadcasters, were talking about how the Golden Knights were this deep team because of the expansion draft and because they had all these good players in the bottom lineup, and it was really the complete opposite, where it was just they had an amazing first line, they had an incredible goalie, and they had a competent top pair, but the rest of the team wasn't as strong. So I think the big issues will be on the bottom pair, especially with Schmidt out, because that means Colin Miller is no longer on it, and the bottom six as well, because you have a third line with guys like Pierre-Edward Bellemare and Ryan Reeves, and they just, as much as fans may like Reeves, he's just not a very good hockey player.
Hey, now, he scored in the Stanley Cup Final. Jonathan Marchessault didn't.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong, but he did other things to mitigate that.
Okay, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in the last two preseason games, largely because Alex Tuch missed a big portion of the last one, but Ryan Reeves has seen time on the power play in the last two preseason games, and they've scored both times he's been out there. How would you feel about Ryan Reeves being on the Golden Knights power play this year?
I would feel not confident in that power play. Having said that, if Ryan Reeves seems like a great guy. Like, there was a video last year where he was playing basketball with Phil Kessel when he was on the Penguins, and it was one of the best things I've ever seen. So I wish that Ryan Reeves has an incredible season. He turns into a competent hockey player who can hold his own like he was in the playoffs. I just don't see it based on how he was in his previous career with the Blues and the Penguins.
He is terrific. Like, he is by far the best player on this team to talk to. Like, I want them, even when he's a healthy scratch, I want them to bring him to the podium with Gerard Gallant every single game so we can get his quotes on the games too.
That makes a lot. He seems like a really cool dude.
All right, so give us your overall prediction, what your model has for the Golden Knights as far as Pacific Division, what are the chances they make and miss the playoffs this year, and how far they could go?
Currently, I have them around 95 points with a 67% chance of making the playoffs, and that could reasonably go up depending on how the Pacific Division shakes out, because it is probably the weakest division in the league. Other than San Jose, there isn't really anyone to be really afraid of, and that's part of the reason why the Golden Knights went as far as they did last year, is they sort of coasted through the Kings, and the Sharks were old and without Thornton, so it wasn't too difficult a path, and that'll be the same thing this year. But there's also young teams like the Flames, Oilers, and Coyotes on the come up who might be able to challenge them. But I think they can reasonably fit as the second or third best team in the division, probably behind San Jose.
See, I think that's my favorite part of this. Is we've been down on the Golden Knights in this interview. They're going to disappoint and all that, but it's still, they'll finish second or third in the Pacific. They'll be in the playoffs. And honestly, it's why they can disappoint in the regular season, but is it really that hard to imagine them beating whatever, the Kings or the Flames in the first round of the playoffs, and then all they have to do is upset the Sharks and they're back in the Western Conference Finals again?
Yeah, exactly. It's just such a soft path to the playoffs, and it might be an issue if they stumble a bit and then make it as the second wild card and then get to the central bracket and have to play maybe Nashville or Winnipeg. But if they stay in the Pacific, I think it shouldn't be too difficult for them to get back, especially because hockey is just such a random game where even the best teams in the league, they'll have maybe a 60 or 70% chance of winning a series, not like basketball where it's like 80 or 90.
Oh, I know one thing I want to ask you, a more specific thing, was Golden Knights let James Neal and David Perron walk. They bring in Pacioretty. They bring in Paul Stastny, basically as replacements for that second line. How do those two duos compare to you?
I definitely think they upgraded there, and that's one of the reasons why I think any sort of regression that happens to the Knights will be a little softened, because they made a big acquisition getting Stastny as the second line center, and then made an even bigger trade getting Pacioretty, and those guys should be improvements over Neal and Perron, who was amazing last year, but it was also a career year for him, and you can't expect that to continue. And Neal was fine, but he's also aging, and Pacioretty's a much more complete winger. So last year, they really depended on one line. This year, I think they can get a second line in the mix that can make their top six really dangerous. But it's just those bottom two lines that I'd be a bit concerned about.
So I'm going to butcher the name again. Lushizen?
Lushishin.
All right. I will butcher it every single time I try to pronounce it. We'll go. What do you prefer, Dom L?
Yeah, honestly, last year when I said the Oilers wouldn't be that good, I was referred to as Dom L from the Athletics through many Oilers interviews. And then they missed playoffs, so now it's a term of reverence, I think.
Okay, so Dom L from The Athletic. He's got a bunch of good stuff. He's got a preview of every NHL team. You can go read a whole lot more on what he thinks about the Golden Knights. Also, every single day has game probabilities and probabilities to make the playoffs, win the Stanley Cup. Golden Knights, 53.2% chance to win tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers as they open up the season. Dom, we really appreciate it, and thanks for coming on with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, again, the Athletics have invested a bunch in the hockey. I mean, as far as if you're interested in following every team in the league, one team in the league, anything, it's really good. And Dom does a lot of good stuff there on every team in the NHL, and has a lot of good stuff on the Golden Knights as well. We are live out here at Toshiba Plaza, right in front of T-Mobile Arena, as the Golden Knights and Flyers, they'll drop the puck. What are we, 8 hours from starting that game now? So, we're in the show, though. What are you laughing at?
Wailing on their horn in the background.
Yes, yes. You like that. We have a small traffic jam. Somebody is dropping somebody off behind us. This is going well outside of Toshiba Plaza.
Sorry, just you're like, we are live. 8 hours until...
That's good. Dude, we should have more horns, right? We should move closer to the I-15. Would that be better?
Oh, man. Sorry.
Now we got people coming up to talk to us, so it's going well here, Jared. We got a good end of the show here out of Toshiba Plaza. But, Jared, do you like me having on the math guys all the time?
Oh, yeah, I love them. I love good information. That's sort of your shtick is, well, no, actually, he's bad at this. You just are looking at X, Y, and Z.
Okay. Did you catch what he was saying there about Ryan Reeves when he was like, Ryan Reeves is very good, but he's like, but he seems like a great guy?
Yes, I kind of understood it, but to be honest with you, it was, again, me trying to like catch up in translation.
Catch up in translation. Oh, yeah, you're new to hockey. You got to learn about these things. So, Ryan Reeves, if you're unaware, analytics don't like Ryan Reeves. Analytics do not think Ryan Reeves is a very good hockey player. He was much better with the Golden Knights once he came here at the trade deadline in the playoffs than he had been in pretty much his entire career. So that being said, most people that like use analytics to evaluate hockey don't really think Ryan Reeves helps you win very much. But as Dom was saying, he seems like a great guy. He really is. Like, in all seriousness, if Ryan Reeves could talk to the media after every game, it would be better for everybody involved because he is absolutely terrific to talk to. Like, he's one of the best people ever to talk to about hockey. Like, Ryan Reeves is terrific. He needs to be the official translator of the Golden Knights. That's all we need. All we need is Ryan Reeves talking to us every time. Golden Knights play the Philadelphia Flyers tonight. They open season number 2 at home, and then they go on the road for 5 straight. So you get this chance, and then they won't see you for a long time. But yeah, tonight against the Flyers, we've been live here down at Toshiba Plaza. Again, Fox 1340, 98.9 FM. You can hear the game or ESPN Deportes 1460 with our man, Jesus Lopez, the best call of the Golden Knights. And the VGK Insider Show is 2 hours today, starting at 2. It's a good day for hockey. Golden Knights are officially back. This has been Technically Correct, live from Toshiba Plaza.
Tyler, you're a bitch.